Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining me. Joining me via vMix is Travis
McClunky
and Brian Malkowitz over there in the corner.
McClunky indeed.
Oh!
Sorry. Let me close that too. Sorry.
Good to see you guys. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Traveler's Chosen quest, a little bit about the Hunter reveal, some of the lore that's been going on. There's a lot to go over today. So let's just start with our reactions to the Traveler's Chosen quest line. That was probably the most recent thing that we all did in game. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're playing Iron Banner too, but I don't know about that. Travis, what did you think of it?
Yeah, so running around and trying to get people to evacuate the planets that we know are going to get destroyed after the season, and apparently only one of them listened to us, Anna Bray, which I guess she's coming back to the tower, and everybody else is going to stay on their respective planets and probably get killed, which, I mean, probably not that big of a loss. I mean, Sloan was probably the coolest one, but I don't think anybody's going to be missing Asher Mir. Definitely not Brother Vance. I think everybody's okay with Brother Vance being gone, so... It is what it is, but I guess a lot of characters are getting cut out of the game.
I don't know if D1, Brother Vance.
Maybe as a twin that's already evacuated. I really liked Anna's dialogue at the end, actually, how she had less than 1% of Rasputin or something, and how he flickered to life a little bit. And I believe he was glowing purple. That was really, really interesting. Brian, what did you think of the quest line?
What quest line? It was a quest line. It was do those bounties. Strikes on this planet and then kill Cabal, 50 of them. It didn't feel like a quest line. It just felt like, hey, do activities until you can get some lore to read at the end of each of those activities. I feel like the whole evacuation thing was a missed opportunity. They had a chance to show us something cool. Hopefully it's still going to happen in some regard, like when, you know, the season is actually going to wrap up and they actually do need to evacuate the planets, even though only one of them is going to be doing it. But yeah, like I was saying, I feel like that whole there, it didn't feel like an evacuation, if that makes sense. Like, I just felt like I was going to the planet talking them just to go do strikes. It just didn't feel like, you know, there was some evacuation hype behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't really mess around them with the gun itself. I did enjoy the quest, and I like that there's a whole bunch of lore to read once you complete it.
Gun is great, I should mention.
How do you feel about the weapon that was rewarded?
Yeah, it's like a very high stability, very high impact sidearm that just does like mad damage. And then it has this ability where, you know, every time you get a kill with it, it becomes more accurate and better handling. And its reload is super fast. It's just like, it strikes me as a really well-balanced gun. Like, if you're going to use, a sidearm as your exotic slot, like, you would really be hard-pressed to find a better one, I think. Really well rounded to me. It's kind of feels like a hand cannon in a way.
It does, but it's also, you're leaving out probably the very important part of it, is it gets the gathering light stacks.
Yes.
That, you know, if you get up to 10, you hold R, or sorry, whatever your reload X. button is, R, then it'll refill your abilities. Right. Depending on how many stacks of those gathering light, which is interesting because I wonder how that was going to work with our darkness subclasses. Presumably the weapon wouldn't work with our darkness subclass, right?
Because you're using the light.
The perk is literally called Gathering Light, and it's used to fill your light ability. I know, it's going to be a little weird. They'll just change the perk to call it Gathering Power, or since the Orbs of Light are no longer being called Orbs of Light in Beyond Light, they'll be called Orbs of Power.
That's funny that you mentioned that. I didn't even consider that, really.
What an interesting time to introduce a gun with a mechanic that depends
on light,
and then they're gonna remove light.
I would not be mad if it didn't do that, because it just makes sense, right, lore wise and mechanically. It's like, it's there for your light. So if it didn't work with a darkness subclass, I wouldn't be mad, just because the gun is literally like, hey, Traveler's Chosen. So it's like, if you're using it and for some reason the Traveler's light is giving you darkness abilities, that would be a little sketch, I think.
Well, maybe you're trading it in. What's the exchange rate on light to darkness?
For every stack of Gathering Light you have, it's worth of one half of a darkness stack. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the exchange rate is.
But yeah, it's a really solid weapon.
Yeah.
One of the other new things making a return are pinnacle pursuits, including, you know, weapons. So this is the adorned weapon that we'll be getting. Pardon me. And then real quick, I'll just bring it up full screen. This is a Beloved, the current go-to sniper. And there it is. So you can see it's been wrapped in cloth a little bit and changed. There was a tweet that I was going to bring in before the show here. Let me just find it really quick. Maybe I saved them in the photo directory. But basically what they're saying is, yes, we recognize that the visual elements are noticeably similar, because somebody made a really great tweet where they wrapped Mountaintop in. Oh, here they are.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't have this prepared. So basically, Jaywalking Games said, y'all, I found another pursuit weapon in Beyond Light. It's called Big Cliff Top. Spread the word. And it's Mountaintop, wrapped in cloth.
Wrapped in a blanket, yeah. I saw that this morning, too. It's really good.
And then I apologize for the bad overlays this episode, but DMG replied, definitely hear the feedback on looks of Adorned, passing it along as necessary. Note, might look like Beloved, but it has its own personality. There might even be some juicy tuning on the way of Mountaintop, not to kill, but to balance. Sandbox preview next month. Stay tuned. Why do they even care about Mountaintop right now? That was
it's still going to exist in regular Crucible, right? Like, it's not going to go away. Like, it's not going to mysteriously disappear because you can't bring it forward into endgame content, right? It's still going to exist in PvP for sure.
Yep.
You're not going to be busting out Mountaintop in Trials, though, because it'll get power leveled out, you know? You'd be throttled too much. No, probably by the first weekend.
It'll still be in comp.
By the first weekend, you're right, because we're going to be I think we're raising the cap by 200?
Yeah. Right? Travis, you're right. It would still be in comp, so that's probably why they're looking at it. It is a very frustrating weapon.
This whole sandbox they're setting up where they're phasing old weapons out, it doesn't affect comp at all, which is kind of a problem, because I assume that they're going to start getting a little bit more, you know, free with their weapon design now that they know weapons aren't going to stick around in the end game forever. But that still makes their sandbox kind of insane for comp and game modes that aren't end game activities.
I have been curious, what is going to happen with PvP modes that can still use old weapons? They're just going to be potentially broken.
It's gonna be nuts.
It could potentially break those modes, you know, where...
No, that's exactly why I think they're just going to be tuning Mountaintop, so that way they can just finally get rid of it out of the meta, because they'll probably nerf it into the ground, but we just don't want to use it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. How do you feel about the return of ritual weapons as a whole, and the fact that you can choose which activity you do to get them?
I like ritual weapons were the highlight of the season, right? It's like one of the highlights of the new season. It's like, oh, cool, now we get this new gun to chase. But that was back when they were pinnacle. I think they were called pinnacles, right? Originals.
Yeah.
Like pinnacle weapons before they changed. I forget what they were called. But it's like, you know, before they changed it from being Mountaintop and Wendigo, because they were afraid of them being almost exotics but legendary. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for that because it gives us one, it gives us something to chase, but it's also at the same time, it's, this is what sunsetting means for us, whether it's like, here's your, you know, your ritual weapons or your pursuit weapons back, but it's just guns you've had in the past just wrapped neatly in a nice new bow. That's going to be a problem. But, you know, we'll take DMG's word with a grain of salt for now when he said it has its own personality for Adored. We'll see how that pursuit weapon turns out before I get like an actual opinion of the return of all pursuit weapons.
They did talk about things having new geometry also, and then like a whole new look. And then the fact that combined with that is a gun that has a piece of cloth wrapped around. It's just kind of like, guys, come on.
But you get to choose your cloth, yeah, Dustin.
I'm fine with that concept, right? Like when they release a ritual weapon, pursuit weapon, and it's, you know, it fundamentally looks the same depending on which activity you got. But as long as, like, not every new pursuit weapon is just something that looks like or is, you know, identical to something we've had in the past. It, you know, it's just like...
Yeah. The armor shares a set of new geometry with decals and shaders specific to decals. The activity. I think it's decals, but I thought I'd do the Canadian version.
Oh, is it called decals? That actually, Canadian? Pronounce it.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Decals. Oh, okay. Yeah, Crucible, looks like we're retaining a lot of the modes. Survival and Survival Freelance are still going to be around. Weekend activities still going to be trials. And 8-up weapons, rewarded to those reaching the lighthouse, Return to Trials of Osiris in Season 12. We're going to get more details about that soon. That director for Crucible looks pretty barren. They have all that wasted space.
Have you seen the director for Gambit?
Consolidating your playlists, Dustin. Consolidating. Yeah.
And then you look at Strikes, it's like, you should almost start combining them at that point because you have so much negative space on... Strikes is just two circles now, basically. And then, did either of you guys read the Gambit section?
Yeah, the Gambit's the same thing, right? It's like, if we're talking specifically director-wise, it's just the new Gambit mode.
The icons and are so far apart.
Yeah. And it's just, like, I mean, because we used to have, like, four nodes in there. But, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a weird-looking director for a while.
Some goals they wrote down before they started with just the Gambit mode. Build a more approachable Gambit Prime, keeping the one-round format with a longer round, but without the Gambit Prime armor perks. Ugh. I actually don't want it to be longer. Gambit Prime is already so long.
It's actually not going to... Well, actually, Gambit Prime is shorter than regular Gambit, but it's not going to...
It feels long. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the boss round, I think, is supposed to be a little bit shorter, even though they are... I think they mentioned that they're having envoys respawn after 40% health depletion of the primeval. But I think you're still banking the same amount of motes to spawn the boss. So I don't know. I like this change. I'm glad that they're getting rid of the armor and not reintroducing the Gambit or the Reckoning armor. So we don't have to go in there with rolls or armor that you can't put ornaments on because they're ugly.
Yeah.
And I hate them.
They're also rebalancing the motes phase last 2/3 of each match rather than half the match. I think that's good. I actually like the motes phase. It's a really good way to do a lot of bounties that are associated with Gambit. So when I'm doing a bounty that's like, go get XYZ kills in Gambit, I always go into the old original Gambit. Because you have more enemies to kill. In Gambit Prime, you get like, 10 enemies versus match. 50, you know? So, yeah,
for sure.
So that'll be a positive balancing just in that respect. And then finally, they're speeding up the Primeval fight, okay, compared to Gambit Prime, to give more of a feeling of a boss rush. All right. So I do like the melting aspect, but those bosses are already getting melted at times. I have a feeling they're going to be... Sure. They're going to be going back to the drawing board with that one because I think you can go to Gambit Final Phase and hit them with the Oppressive Darkness and a secondary debuff and just melt, right?
Yeah, you can't. You have a damage cap for your first Primeval fight.
Still get them first, like half.
You can get them lower. You can get them way lower than that. I think you can get them down to like a fourth left before it actually caps you in damage. But yeah, no, I think you're right. Even though like Oppressive Darkness probably won't exist next season since that's a seasonal mod. So you won't have that buff. So you won't be dropping Nova Bombs and Oppressive Darkness on the bosses. But they do have to worry about those Fallen Guillotines, because those are the ones that bring that health down real quick.
Yep.
They went into the specifics about percentages and how they're pushing and pulling all the damage numbers and everything. But honestly, why would people go play Gambit? What is the incentivization to go there? That's something that I don't see that they've touched on. I want to know how they're making it a thing that you want to go to. They had the armor for a while, which, you know, circled back into Gambit. Are they bringing a new armor set there? Are they? Well, they did say up top that they are bringing a new armor set. So I guess
bringing a new armor set. That's for what? Isn't that that's one armor set for the entire year. For Crucible, Strikes, or Gambit, depending on which mode you want to pursue that armor in. So it's like that. Once you get that armor, there's going to be no reason to play Gambit unless they. I mean, they have to update the loot pool in Gambit, right? Because everything that drops in Gambit is effectively going to be sunset next season. So you can't have a pinnacle game mode like Gambit dropping gear that's outdated that cannot be brought forward with you into end game activities. That's going to be weird. So I'm a little worried in that aspect, and I really hope that it's just not, hey, here's all those Gambit weapons again, but with a Beyond Light logo on them now.
Yeah, I do feel like all this pushing and pulling and tuning, they're going to have to go back to the drawing board in 2 months, or Gambit will just be a void. Yeah. Nobody will be playing it. There has to be an incentivization to play that mode again. I mean, of course, there's always the fun factor. But yeah.
They'll have the powerful gear. They'll have the green blanket over a door if you want that version of that gun, and also the probably green, you know, decal armor. But yeah, I assume this will be kind of like they've done for the past year, which is just like arbitrarily give reasons to play Gambit by basically making quests that say, hey, go play Gambit, you know. Like that'll probably be what
it, which is an ineffective way to get people to play it, because it's like Gambit in itself is not bad, it's just it's there's no reason to play it. And I think that putting an armor set that, you know, you can effectively get from any other activity in the game isn't an effective way to get people to play the mode. It's like you need to put the loot behind it, you need to put, you know, those reasons behind it, and that they're just kind of not doing that right now. And I mean, they did say that they have more to share on what's happening with Gambit, so we'll see what they do with it.
I hope they touch on that, because I do think it's a key aspect that we're going to need to know more about, you know. So
for sure.
Yeah.
Same could be said about Strikes, but yeah.
I remember what I was going to ask. Which mode are you going to do the pursuit for the sniper on? Are you going to do Strikes, Gambit, or Crucible?
Strikes are obviously probably going to be the easiest way to get those armor pieces.
It's for the weapon specifically.
Yeah. Oh, the weapon? Well, yeah. I mean, it's both, right? You can do it in either.
It's both, yeah.
You can do it in any one of them. The armor and the weapon will be. It's not locked. The pursuit weapon is not locked to a single. Pursuit weapons or the armor is not locked to a single mode. So I imagine that Strikes are going to be the easiest way to get either of those. So probably that.
Crucible for me, man. I want the Crucible version of it.
Yeah, if I can just play Crucible, like even if it takes longer, I would rather do it passively, I guess. I don't know. I might just wait. I might just sit on it for a little bit and then go do it at a later time. Mm-hmm. Brian, if you had your choice, which one would you pick? Are you gonna do Strikes then, because it's easiest?
Probably, just because like that'll be the quickest way to get it. I mean, that's kind of what I do when I play Destiny. It's like if there's something new that I want to get, I can do Strikes to get it, I'll do that, just because that's generally just the fastest way, especially if you're doing Strikes that you know you can do in like 5 minutes tops.
Yeah, what's the most efficient like path, Shadows, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, 1 second here. I'm trying to queue up this Festival of the Lost leak we saw over on Imgur. So this is a live website that I can apparently interact with. Let me find out here. Sorry.
I forget and, the leak. I think it was Ginzor. I forget the name.
It's Cry. That's who the Imgur is. But anyway, we got the broomstick. Oh. We got some cool looking new armor sets. I actually like those quite a bit. I like the glowy eyes on the hunter.
The armor sets are what's really
Titan, nice. Titan as usual looks terrible.
It's that Frankenstein look. It looks kind of neat, but I mean, really, look at that Warlock.
The Warlock is sexy.
Yeah, I like the chains quite a bit on the Warlock. That's pretty nice. Do you guys think... Go ahead.
The Ebenezer Scrooge emote with the chains? Is that what the reference is? Yeah, it's pretty
maybe.
Funny.
Maybe, I don't know. The final thing that I had on the run of show, did I miss anything from your guys' notes? Because the only other thing I had was that Hunter subclass reveal.
Oh, there's a Hunter subclass reveal and also the new lore that we got.
Travis, why don't you tell us about the lore? Everybody's dying, right?
Yeah, well, that was sort of part of the evacuation quest, is apparently three people are dying. But the other thing that Bungie released was like a really long piece of lore that was sort of like vignettes about different people in the Last City, like non-Guardians, and kind of their feelings and their fear about what's going on in the galaxy, and their thoughts about the Vanguard and the leadership and their ability to defend them. And it's kind of like a sad, like a small, like little bite-sized sad stories about what's going on in the world. And I'm interested to see where it goes. It seemed like it was sort of like a prelude maybe to something more. But yeah, those little bite-sized stories are always so good. They have such a talented writing staff. I would love to see them put more of that in the game. And hopefully this is an indication that that they're going to, or that they are kind of leading up to that, or it could just be more great storytelling that doesn't happen in the game, and the base game is just people getting shot in the face. We'll see.
Yeah, I have to say that I did enjoy the lore aspects of the Traveler's Chosen quest and getting to learn more about like what is going to happen. Disappointing that they didn't let us finish out the tree watch.
Oh my god, it's so annoying.
Yeah,
let us finish about what? Sorry.
You can't finish the lore book where you go visit Eris at the tree. So
yeah, they're just doing repeats apparently until.
Well, it's because I imagine because it was supposed to happen last week, I believe, because Beyond Light was supposed to be out this week, right? The whole Nokris thing and the final lore bit was supposed to happen last week, but I imagine they pushed that to maybe even like closer to November. Or just before Festival of Lost starts, just to pad out the season a little bit since the delay.
They probably should have tweeted something out, though, because that was kind of annoying. Like, you're doing this every week, and then it's not a problem. You do it.
The problem is that the whole last thing was a data mine, though, right? So it's not like Bungie's, hey, Nokris is going to come later and all of that. So it's like it was a data mine. So they're not going to address it directly.
No, not the data mine. Just the fact that they postponed it. So if they said, "Hey, we postponed the final lore entry in that thing," that's all they had to say. They don't have to spoil it like you just did, Brian.
I think Brian's point was that they never promised. They never promised it to us, right? So they maybe didn't have an obligation to tell us that things had changed. But that was very disappointing, I will say, doing that quest all over again and then being like, what? Oh, come on.
As far as I know, they still haven't said anything about it. It's just like...
I haven't, no.
So should I run it next week? Or I'll just wait until Paul Tassi says...
I mean, just wait. There are masochists who probably do enjoy it, so it's like, let them do it, and then they'll report their findings to us. So,
yeah, I'll work on my catalysts in the meantime, because apparently if you don't finish them before, they just go away.
Yeah, I've had Rat King's catalyst for so long, and I need to do that one. I've never done Rat King's catalyst, so.
Well, you can keep that one, because that one's not going away, right?
Rat King?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you get that from... I'm pretty sure that one's going away.
I don't think Rat King's one of them, but I know that Sleeper is, and Sleeper involves 5,000 kills with specific weapons. And Acrius, where you want that like third shot. So, yeah, Acrius Final is 3, right? Or is it more? I never did.
I think you actually get 6 or 7, actually.
Oh, God.
Like in the actual, like I'm pretty sure it's 6. Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, but I think Acrius is 6 rounds with the catalyst.
Well, I'm sitting on 2, so I got work to do on a whole bunch of the weapons right now, and it's not going to be fun. Put in the Shirochi wish and just do it. That's what I've been advised by our friend Teddy.
I mean, that's That's the way to do it. That's the way to do any catalyst for sure.
So real quick, let's go over some of the subclass notes we got here. We got Wield the Darkness Stasis. It does seem that everybody is going to have access to the grenades, which is positive news. And I will just sort of do live production here and zoom in. Wield the Darkness Stasis, a mysterious new power. Stasis is an element born of darkness. In its base form, it is an alluring, lethal cosmic energy that, when wielded correctly, can attach itself to surfaces, objects, and beings. Due to its freezing nature, this process manifests itself in the formation of cold crystalline structures that leave a patterned stasis footprint behind. But it's not ice.
It's not ice.
So here are the grenade types. Stasis crystals. Stasis, in its solid form, a violent and unstable block of crystal, forms when focused stasis energy connects with matter in the environment, freezes nearby enemies when it takes shape, rendering them immobile. Highly unstable, shatters on impact, creating a stasis explosion of sharp, jagged crystals. If left unchecked, crystals will dissolve over time. Stasis field. Unfocused stasis energy that forms a sphere of influence teeming with dark elemental power, slowing enemies that enter the field. Stasis energy attaches to the being, eventually encasing them in stasis crystals, rendering them immobile. That's pretty crazy. And then, did I read the wrong stuff? Well, anyway, so that's stasis.
Well, what if
and then you got slow, just those freeze, two effects and shatter. Yeah. So then slow, obviously, guess what it does? Greatly reduces enemy movement speed, weapon handling and accuracy and ability energy regen.
Freeze. I think that last one is the main one. The it slows down your ability regeneration, which is kind of the big deal, I think.
Literally everything
adding,
about
adding another suppression. Adding another suppression element to the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Freeze and immobilize foes in solid stasis crystals. The effect wears off slowly over time, but if effective players are willing to take some damage in the process, they can break out early by shattering the crystals around them. Interesting.
Ooh, interesting. You take a little gamble there.
Yeah, cool. So you, like, what are you going to do in PvP? You're going to bust out if you have the HP to do it, right?
Or if you got a shotgun.
Shatter. Obliterate those who seek to destroy you with enough direct damage. Frozen enemies and stasis crystals will shatter, creating a devastating stasis shrapnel explosion, damaging those nearby. So that's sort of an overview of what's going on with stasis, really quick. And then I will jump over here. Again, doing live production. I apologize for this. We got the Hunter Revenant. Guys, did you read this thing?
Sure did. Looks really cool.
Think you're switching classes?
No, but I love the Grim Reaper kind of vibe I'm getting from these guys. It's pretty dope.
You're not going to get me to walk away from that Warlock staff. Sorry.
Yeah, the Warlock staff is pretty dope. I like this more than I thought, like reading the description of the powers. Let's just go over it really quick. We got Silence and Squall, channeling stasis shards towards them. Revenants form comma blades and use them to unleash a lethal two-pronged attack. Revenants are a worthy ally in any battle. Summon the storm, use it for cover, lure enemies inside, and then unleash devastation. And they have this is hard to read, so one second. We'll go with Deadly Edge. Upon impact, the first blade shatters and sends out a wave of stasis energy that freezes any enemies in the surrounding area. Stasis Storm, the second blade, hits and creates a violent stasis storm that hones in on nearby enemies, slowing, damaging, and eventually freezing them. And then we also have Withering Blade. The Revenant throws razor-sharp stasis shurikens into the fray that ricochet off multiple enemies and surfaces, slowing and damaging them in the process. So that
so we kind of saw a clip of that in the Crucible last week. I think we were going over the footage where
they
froze someone and then he shoots the shuriken and it kills the frozen enemies and shatters their crystals, which I thought was pretty dope. So yeah, it seems like they have really good combos.
Like sticky grenades. I wonder how much assistance that it gets after you bounce off wall. If it has like some sort of like minor heat seeking ability to it, where it looked
very similar to the shield on Titans when you throw the shield.
Right, is the scene in question? Sort of
tracking.
Yeah.
Oh, it's framed all weird again.
So it's freezing different people. And then this is the PvP one I was thinking of. So he throws a grenade and freezes them and creates the stasis field, and then you can see the shuriken breaks them and causes them to explode.
Yeah, so. pretty deadly stuff. And we also saw the beloved, adored, weapon type there earlier in the shot. All right, well, for me, that's about the end of the show. That's everything that I think we had to go over this week, guys. Did I miss any other topics?
Yeah, I mean, are you? We kind of gave our opinions on the Warlock and Titan. Are you excited for the Hunter as a Hunter main, the subclass? Do you think you'll use it over all the other subclasses? Or?
Yeah, that's a really tough question. I've been really thinking about his powers and abilities. I love the current Hunter abilities, but some of those other ones are really enticing and are tempting me away. Like, that Warlock staff is really cool. I really like the Titan. I'll probably be messing around with all of them. When this new content drops, it's going to be like one of those times where you just kind of want to play around and mess around in the game and sort of, you know, see what is going on with everything. So, yeah, I think that's my best answer that I can give you. I don't know. I hope the Hunter's king, you know, because, or at least they have builds that are viable, because if they don't, people will just make the switch naturally to other subclasses. But the fact that they all have those grenades to toy with does say that, the sandbox is going to get super interesting, just generally speaking, with all these abilities that are going to be throwing around involving time manipulation, really. And I like that a lot.
Yep. It's going to be Crucible in the first. The Crucible in Beyond Light when it first starts is going to be
fun.
It's going to be cold. It's going to be very cold.
It's going to be lots of blue and purple just everywhere.
I'd be surprised if, like, my first Crucible match in Beyond, when Beyond Light starts, if anybody's using any of the original subclasses, I'd be surprised.
Me too. Unless you have to unlock them somewhere.
That's true. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all we have for major topics this week. I think I covered off on everything. An exciting week. It's exciting to look forward about what is coming in Destiny and talk about the things that we have coming. But that's all for this episode, everybody. So until next time.
Guardians out.
I gotta let them go first, otherwise it's weird.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.